The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
As they say in the bayou, laissez le bon temps brûler. Let the good times roll. LSU sits on the throne of college football. As they knock out the defending champs, an offensive onslaught, 628 yards.
Go Tigers.
Sports.
So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Yeah, I'll let him get credit for being the first one to use that phrase. I've only heard it about 600 times on ESPN today. But hey, that's okay. Celebrate, LSU fan. Let's do this. It's a Tuesday on the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Tuesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, Chocolate Braveheart, Aaron Rabel, the Voldemort. If you want to get in today, well, very short time to do it because we're out at 5:30 for Aggie basketball. 713-780-3776 is your number, 713-780-ESPN. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you want to watch us on Twitch, comment there. You can do that. Just go to ESPN975.com, click on Twitch, or go to Twitch and click on ESPN975.com. And it's a Tuesday, and we don't have time for you to be in a bad mood because we only got an hour and a half today.
No time for it.
Yep. What's going on, Hoffman?
Sports and stuff, man. It was a it was a really good football game. Better football game than the final score suggests.
Absolutely.
Which we didn't get last year. We didn't get a good football game.
No.
So I'll take it. And, you know, I was wrong. I'll admit when I'm wrong. I said all along, I'm until someone proves to me they're better, I'm just going to believe Clemson's the best team. And LSU, better team. They went out there and they got the job done. And, of course, for me, a day like yesterday, I'll never for the life of me understand when your team wins a championship, the first thing you do is go at find someone who said that they weren't going to do it, and that's how you celebrate. But okay. I mean,
that's always fun.
I didn't mind that much. I mean, it's a likable team. There's some really good stories, and they're a good football team, man. It was a fun game to watch. It was, I think that the first quarter, the reason why LSU started slow is Clemson's been there. They've done this. This is our first time here jitters for Clemson. It was pretty obvious that there was jitters on that LSU side, and it's hard when it's the first time there. And kudos to them for recovering and working through it and making big plays down the stretch. So it was a nice solid win and caps off one of the better seasons in college football history, in my opinion. When you look at the gauntlet they ran through, the teams that they knocked off, and when you look at what's going to be the final top 10 and you see how many of those top 10 this LSU team beat and the manner that they beat them in, and it's hard to argue. This is one of the two or three greatest football teams, college football teams I've ever seen, certainly.
And that's actually what I wrote last night. I went back and looked at some of the ones that everybody considers the best. And what they accomplished this year, it was way beyond what anybody did. I mean, it's not even close in terms of who they beat.
Right.
And the only one that's even remotely close was 1971 Nebraska, and they beat number 2, 3, and 4.
Okay.
In the top five. Well, okay, LSU didn't do that because I didn't get to play number three. But overall, I had two real thoughts. Number one, Clemson's a really good football team, and it just makes what LSU did even more impressive. And I don't know how many times we talked about this year. It's like, you know, Georgia's a really good football team. They didn't have any problem with Georgia. And, you know, then, you know, Oklahoma, okay, we didn't expect much. But this Clemson team, I think we all thought was really good. And they were. And what impressed me the most was that LSU, you know, early on, it wasn't just that they were there. I think Venables came out with a really good scheme, and they had them pinned deep a couple times. And then once LSU figured that out, the speed of their guys was just – the speed on both of these teams was incredible.
I mean, the talent on both these teams is absurd.
There's a lot of NFL talent running around out there.
Like, particularly at wide receiver. I mean, obviously a quarterback, but it was there's a lot of good players on that football field, man. A lot.
And that's the other thing, too, when I was kind of going through my stories on SportsMap, if you want to go check it out. There's about 10,000 things on there, so you got to go to the college section. But you know, the fact that they've got four guys who are projected to be in the first round of this year's draft, and that doesn't include guys like Stingley, who's probably going to be back, a top 10 pick in 2 years. And
if I were him, I would just wrap myself in bubble wrap. And
pretty much. What else can you accomplish?
Yeah.
You just won a national championship. But they were so impressive all year long. And I mean, it was amazing run. It was a fun game to watch. I do think that, you know, there were some things that I don't think they swayed the outcome. I thought it was a terrible offensive pass interference call. All that would have done was cut at the 10, but still that at that stage of the game,
there were calls. And, you know, I've heard a lot of people. I've talked to a lot of people. A lot of people have talked to me about the targeting call on Skalska. I guess by rule, it is targeting. I mean, I don't think there was any way he was intending to hit the guy in the helmet. Like, right. he's not looking to do damage. There's almost no. In fact, he drops down because he's trying to avoid helmet contact. Skalska's one. I mean, probably their second, third best defender.
He was probably their best last night, though. He was all over.
I mean,
the
you
field.
Take that guy. You remove a guy from the national championship game. For that hit, it's crazy to me. And it's the same thing as the Ohio State game a couple weeks ago.
And the thing is,
stop taking players out of games unless it's like legit. There, someone's out there, you can tell that they're trying to hurt somebody.
But, you know, the thing is, the rule is the flaw here. Because
no doubt.
By the rule there, there was no doubt. It was not, I mean, there was no doubt at all that it was targeting. The problem is, and I've said this all along, I hate it because, you know, if a guy, you can't necessarily... you shouldn't lead with your head. That's something that you've got to... But you're also making those decisions in like 2 seconds. And if a guy's head is going down while yours is going up, boom, you're out of the game. I don't know what the solution is. I mean, I don't have a problem with having that rule. But, I mean, a quarter maybe? Maybe you take him out for the rest of the quarter. I don't know if the... I don't like the whole soccer thing where it's a game and then half the next game.
Right. That's crazy.
Actually, in soccer, it's the whole next game. But... I think that's a bit much, but I didn't like that. I also thought that Clemson got away with a pretty good interference on a ball that may or may not have been catchable, but it's hard to tell because he tackled the kid. But otherwise, you know, the really egregious one to me was the offensive pass interference, because that's either a no call or you call it both ways. And I always prefer no call in
that
situation.
That's a no call. I mean, that's ridiculous. You know, and it's funny that the Skalska hit gets someone kicked out. I forget which receiver it was, which Clemson receiver early in the game jumped up for a pass and it was over his head, and the LSU DB like
drilled him in the back,
smashes him.
Legal hit though,
right? How is that a legal hit? Yeah. But what Skalska did gets you kicked out of the game. That's the silly part. They've just got to come up with if it looks. Like
they've defined it. It's just I don't like the definition.
Yeah.
If you lead with the top of your helmet, it's a foul. And, you know, in the case of the LSU kid, he didn't. And so you're supposed to lead with your shoulder. And, you know, so clearly, based on what they've defined, that's what it was. But I just don't like the definition. I think there has to be some leeway. And I think it's really punitive to just automatically disqualify kids. And I've said that all along. And I don't have an answer for you other than I think kicking a kid out for the game for that foul is too much. It's too punitive. Unless you look at it and say, wow, he was intending to hurt this kid. And that's really hard to prove. But if that's the case, then toss him. But didn't you always have that? Couldn't you always toss a guy?
Yeah.
If you thought, I mean, they've always been able to do that. So,
You know, and in the end, again, I don't think it mattered too much. I mean, LSU was the better team.
All it did, all it took away was drama.
Yeah,
like there could have been a closer drama, game, but and that's those calls and the hand touching down out of bounds, which somehow I saw in real time and said he's out of bounds right there.
Well,
and
they just in real time, I thought his foot was out of bounds, and I like they got to look at that.
And then he gets what 20-25 more yards after that. It's like,
but credit to them, get up there and throw the ball and boom and okay.
Well, I mean, how does someone not look at that?
Yeah, that one was pretty bad. But and then somebody says people complaining about the OPI call forgot that literally the drive before Fulton had a pick that got called back when he didn't touch the receiver. He did touch the receiver. I thought that was a crap call too. But again, he got his arm on him and hooked him while the ball was in the air.
There were plays that Clemson had their opportunity. I mean, they dropped the pick six. That would have changed the whole way that the whole momentum of the game would have been changed on that play. Clemson would have taken a lead. I thought that there was really, and I don't normally question Dabo Swinney, the great genius when it comes to much, but...
Oh, shucks, AJ.
So when the touchdown that pulled Clemson within three in the third quarter, the Etienne touchdown, that was his 14th carry. So now there was 10:49 left. He scores that touchdown. They're down three. The defense comes on the field, forces a three and out. And Travis Etienne ran the ball one more time the rest of the game. I said before that game, that is a key guy. That's a guy they've got to get going. They got him going. And then when he got them back in the game, they stopped giving him the ball inexplicably. And the reality is, and there's a lot of people, which if you're trying to act like suddenly Trevor Lawrence is a phony quarterback,
he's not good.
It's ridiculous. He did not play a good game, though.
He didn't, but it wasn't all on him. And I think two thoughts. I was really surprised that Etienne didn't get the ball more.
That's crazy.
And that Lawrence didn't run the ball more.
Yep.
Because that's what worked against Ohio State. And if you remember, Ohio State's DBs really made it tough on Clemson's receivers. Well, guess what? So did LSU's.
Yep.
And they kept forcing the ball to him rather than doing what worked last time. So... yeah, I don't want to go questioning Dabo, but the reality is I was wondering why they weren't giving him the ball more, why we weren't seeing Trevor Lawrence run the ball more, because that's what worked against Ohio State. And would it have worked against LSU? I don't know. That LSU defense, a lot of skill over there, but I would have tried it.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a quick break. A lot more to get to besides that. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. I'm guessing that LSU fans still celebrating right now. You probably have not stopped drinking, and good for you.
Should be.
I'm actually very happy because I have a lot of LSU friends and some people who went to the game that I know very well, and I have not heard from them because they're probably dead based on all the alcohol they consume. But I'm glad to see it. I mean, those guys support that team and have for years. It's one of the best places I've ever gone to watch a game. And, I mean, they're just passionate about their team. And, you know, congratulations. The fans deserve it a little bit. And I love Edo. I got
to
tell you.
He's a hard guy to not cheer for, man. He seems like a genuine dude. When you figure out his story that he had, like, a dependency issue and – you know, nobody wanted to hire him because just based on the way he talks, they were like, oh, he's too dumb. He had to coach for free for a while. Yeah. I mean,
and we talk,
I don't feel bad for him getting fired from Ole Miss because he wasn't good there.
He didn't do a good job.
But, you know, the USC thing, and granted, maybe the Ed O thing wasn't going to work at USC. And I understand that not everyone's a fit, but he did do a good job there. and they were still, we're going to move on. I mean, for him to finally get this, I think is pretty cool.
Yeah, I think people, and we talk about to be great at this, in that business, most of the guys are just, they're not good human beings. I don't know, Ed, but I would be surprised if that were the case. And I also, what I like most about him is here's a guy who actually learned and said, hey, we got to change this. He's not out there worried about, and I'm not going to compare him to any local NFL coaches. He's not out there worried about egos or who's doing what. You know, he got Emsinger and Brady to work together because he knew he needed to change that offense. He lets Aranda run the defense the way he wants because he trusts the guy, and he recruits like hell, and he motivates those kids. But at every stop, he's learned something different. He's even said that. Even at USC, he learned some things that he's applied at LSU. And I think he's a perfect fit for LSU. And maybe he wouldn't have been a fit for USC. But, you know, I think eventually he would have if you give him time. And I think he learned a lot from that Mississippi experience. And we tend to write guys off when they have a bad first coaching experience. And that wasn't good. And you can win games there. I mean, you're not going to – we've talked about that. They can jump up and have a 10-win season every now and then, and the rest of the time you kind of go to bowls. But he learned from that and then applied it. And that's good coaching, man. And not – you know, and again, not to compare him to anybody, but not living in a bubble and thinking, well, didn't work this time, but it'll work next time.
Yeah.
And just so much fun. And what they did with Joe Brady was amazing. Now, you know, we'll have a – I have a different take on Joe Brady. I don't want to do it today, but his NFL stock, where he's probably going to be number one in the draft.
You talking about Joe Burrow or Joe
Brady? Joe Burrow, I'm sorry, not Joe Brady.
Oh, I was going to say, if he is going to be number one in the draft, Cincinnati should also be delivering a wheelbarrow of money to Joe Brady.
Yeah.
Because I really think these two guys have found some magic. And I've been on record saying I think that Joe Burrow is a good NFL prospect. I would not take Joe Burrow number one overall, but if he gets into the right fit, clearly he can do some things. I mean, he's got some skills. He's got a little Tony Romo to him. I saw Nick Wright try to say he's like Andy Dalton, which I think is okay.
But I
do think there's somewhere in between, you know, like people thinking that he is the next Aaron Rodgers and he's the next Andy Dalton. I think there's a medium somewhere in there.
I heard Dell compare him to Tim Couch, and I think he meant it as an insult, but I don't think it necessarily. I think
Tim Couch had a huge year that got his stock through the roof.
And then he had one pretty good year in the pros. But I think in terms of how they look throwing the football, I could see that. But
Tim Couch also got sent to the Browns. I know. If that happens to you, then you're good dead. Luck.
Yeah. Well, I'm not so sure about the Bengals either.
Yeah, that's true.
But as far as Joe Brady goes, and I know that Matt Rhule wanted to interview him for Carolina, which I think somebody should hire him as an NFL coordinator. And, you know, I said this the other day. If I'm Cal McNair, I'm telling O'Brien, listen, I want some of that in our offense. Go get him, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. If you're going to stay my head coach, which, you know, again, getting back to what I would do, he wouldn't be my head coach, but I'd go get some of that.
Well, obviously, he's got some magic going right now. And the other thing that LSU did well, before we get to the other side of the ball, I was going to say their defense was good. There was a couple plays, and I guess this is as much on, you know, Joe Burrow doing things the right way as it is on Clemson letting things happen that just shouldn't happen. The moment in that game where it was like, oh boy, 3rd and 19.
Yeah. Oh, right before the half?
Yep.
When 21 seconds left?
I mean, that can't happen.
Because if you make the stop, if you're playing for that and you make the stop, they don't even get a field goal.
They don't get a field goal. And instead, you go down, you go into the locker room down double digits. You know, that can't happen. But really where I think the bigger issue, and, you know, I was not a believer in this LSU defense. I was not a believer. And I didn't think that.
I try to tell you they were getting better as the season was going on.
They were getting better,
because they always had the talent.
But, like, everybody was like, oh, look what they did to Georgia. And I said, well, yeah, look at Georgia's offense basically against everybody. It's like the most vanilla-ass, not-going-to-do-anything offense. I was worried because of what I saw Alabama do to them. And Alabama and Ole Miss, guys with quarterbacks who could move around some, were able to do some damage. I thought Clemson could take advantage of some of the same things, and they just didn't. And LSU did a great job on third down defensively. Clemson was something like, I mean, they were in the top 20 in third down efficiency in the country. I think they were one of 11. I mean, that's, you can't go one of 11 on third down and expect to win.
No.
And a lot of that was they couldn't get things going on early downs to give them manageable third down situations. And I really think a lot of it is, and this is mostly what I'm talking about is in the second half, is when they went away from Etienne. And
yeah, I agree. That was driving me nuts the whole game. It's like, give him the ball more. Because he was the one matchup problem that LSU had.
And it was clear he was a problem.
Yeah.
And they made a couple good stops on him early, but then he got rolling. And when he got that touchdown, it looked like he was about to take over the football game.
Yeah.
And then he touched the ball one more time. After that touchdown that brought them. And imagine that. Guy drives you down the field, scores you a touchdown to cut the lead to three. Your defense gets a three and out. Don't you go right back to that running back?
I would.
I thought they
should have used him more in the first half, too, especially when they had the lead.
Yeah.
I just felt like that there was a lot of success with him early. And, yeah, they did lock him down at times, but he was the best weapon they had, and I just wanted to see him used more.
And you know what? I mean, obviously, the Clemson, they opened up the favorite to be the national champion again next year.
I'll take a little Ohio State action.
It's not surprising because Trevor Lawrence comes back, but Travis Etienne, T. Higgins, maybe most importantly, Isaiah Simmons, all going to the NFL. So it's not going to be, and granted, Clemson is like Alabama. They've got guys behind those guys who are ready to go.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be as easy. This was a big opportunity for them, and
they just ran into a better team, unfortunately.
They did. Another big issue I thought was when it was announced, I don't know if it was announced this early or if it was, this is when I heard it, but I guess it was maybe 15, 20 minutes before kickoff that they said, well, I can't even think of his name. Niles, the defensive tackle that's been a monster all year, that said, he basically said before the game, guarantee I'm playing. And then they announced right before the game, ankle, he's not going to be able to go. And I was like, oh, that's tough because what'd you say? Yeah, Niles Pinckney. Yeah. They said, but I mean, we've talked about it a lot. The difference between last year's team and this year's team was they lost that defensive front to the NFL, so they didn't have the depth on the defensive line that they did before. And with him being out, then they suffer an injury during the game. They were literally down to three down linemen, and that's just not what they want to be playing.
No.
And you know what? Kudos to LSU for knowing, because Venables is probably about the best guy in the country at sending blitzes, and Joe Brady and Joe Burrow were on the same page, and they knew exactly when it was going to come, and they took advantage.
Well, it took them some time, though. There were early on, they were fooled a few times.
Yeah.
But, man, once they figured it out, that was the thing. They looked almost unstoppable. And then, to credit the Venables, they made some adjustments going into the second half because LSU could have run that thing out of the building if they'd gone up 35-17 at that point. Yeah. And so they made some adjustments early on, and then LSU adjusted again. It was really great coaching and great play on both sides. And, you know, I think the right team won, but I hope people realize just how good this Clemson team was. I mean, 29 wins in a row, that's there's only one team since 2000 that's won more games in a row than that, and that was that Miami juggernaut.
Who are, what to me, one of the only teams in the conversation with LSU.
Yeah, and
for best college teams of my lifetime.
And their conversation is the quality of players that they had.
Yeah.
Because they really didn't beat that much
in
their title year. But they beat the crap out of everybody.
And they also could have won a second title that would have solidified them and kind of got that taken away from them. But just
a little inside baseball. I had two articles written for last night. One was where LSU's season would rank, single season would rank. and then where Clemson's streak would rank. So that where that streak ranked, even with the loss, was pretty damn impressive.
So did you, the Sagarin computer ratings, the top college football teams of the BCS playoff era, basically went back to 98.
Yeah.
Number one, Texas, 2005, 106.9. 2001, Miami, 106.4. 2019, LSU, 104.9. Well, really, 104.88. 2019, Ohio State, 104.83.
Wow.
So Sagarin's computer still, after that, has Ohio State 0.05 behind LSU for the season, which is pretty wild. In case you were wondering, Clemson, 101.53 this season, and UMass, 30.72.
Oh, way to go, UMass.
Yeah, shout out UMass. Right behind Alabama A&M.
You know what I'd like to do is go research all the teams that LSU beat and what their rankings were compared to what other teams did.
Yeah.
I mean, that would take a lot of research.
That's a lot of work.
But it's not really worth it. I think it's just going to prove what I already think, that this team was pretty damn good.
They were great.
So how's that? All right. Hey, guys, you know what? This morning I went and saw my man, Dr. Linville. Check out where my hair is right now. And, man, people are noticing now, which is really cool. And if you're not familiar with what Dr. Linville does, I'm going to tell you all about it. Basically, this isn't hair plugs. This isn't any garbage like that. This is Neograft. What they do is they take the hair that's already on your head from the back of your head, and they put it to where you're missing it. And they put it in the front of mine, and it is growing out. It looks amazing. And it's my own hair, so it doesn't look fake. And it's been, I feel so much better. I look so much better. And you can't imagine the confidence you get. And I know a lot of guys are embarrassed, say, oh, man, I need to go get some help with my hair. Well, do me a favor. Go to 975hair.com. Get your consultation with Dr. Linville. Just spend a few minutes with him, because guess what? He had it done himself, and his hair looks amazing too. And so he knows all about it. And it's the kind of thing that maybe you don't want to talk about it. Maybe you're embarrassed. Go get the consultation. You don't have to tell anybody. And then after that, make your decision. 975hair.com. 975hair.com. Get your hair back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Breaking news. Per Adam Schefter, LSU's passing game coordinator Joe Brady has told people today that he is planning to return to the NFL and the Carolina Panthers.
Oh, boy.
Nice hire, Matt Rhule. Telling Man. You, that guy's got a chance to be a Matt Rhule's going to do some. He's going to do some things, AJ.
So do Matt now. Matt Rhule and Joe Brady sit down in a room and talk. Do they say, "Well, do we keep Cam Newton?"
I'm sure that's going to be a conversation.
I mean, that's got to be the first conversation, right?
Right. And
man, Carolina, they're going to be good.
Yeah,
Christian McCaffrey is. I mean, turning into one of the more complete running backs in the NFL. I don't know. I mean, I guess it depends on what their quarterback situation is going to be, but, man, that's interesting.
A couple people ask, have you talked about Derek King yet? No, we have not, which there's a lot of reasons why that hasn't come up yet, mainly because I don't understand why guys think people won't notice when you tweet out during the national championship game news.
I mean, they're trying to take as little heat on it as possible.
Because all he, if, and I mean, honestly, if you go back and look at the stuff he said, he really looks bad. But I've been telling you for a couple of weeks, they were pretty sure.
You knew this.
Yeah.
You were like, I can't say it on the air, but you knew.
Yeah, I was pretty sure. But what I was hearing was LSU. And what I'm hearing now is Arkansas. Which, I mean, dude, if you're going to Arkansas, good luck. But, shame. I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's obviously LSU's going to need a quarterback. And now you're looking at having to replace your offensive coordinator or offensive passing game coordinator, excuse me. But
I mean, let's face it, you got to replace your offensive coordinator.
But I mean, again, it's a really bad look for Dana Holgorsen, because wasn't that the whole plan? And is it the end of the world? No, because he's got a guy who played pretty well for him last year who should get better. He's got a really good recruit coming in. And he's got the transfer window himself. Yeah. He's pretty good at putting at finding quarterback. And Kingdom,
a really good recruit coming in, and that kid like a 3-star athlete.
I think he's better than that. I mean, because they're very high on him over there. They think he's way underrated.
But as a freshman,
I don't think you want him out there. But guess what? They have the transfer portal too.
We can all agree that Dana's plan blew up in his face, though.
Yeah,
I mean, he looks like a moron.
It is a bad look, and it looks stupid. I mean, I think they'll work around it. They'll still be pretty good next year because the rest of the team, the rest of the transfers to bring it in are really good. But he's going to have a. I don't understand why either one of them just kept telling people, "Oh, I'm not going anywhere, not going anywhere," because now you both look bad.
Yeah,
and I mean, good luck to him. But it just does make the whole thing look stupid.
I was looking at where the Panthers pick in the draft.
Yeah.
7th.
Hmm.
What if Joe Brady got Tua?
Ooh.
That'd be fun.
That would be fun.
That would be
I don't know. I don't know if Tua's going to last that long.
I don't know if he will. I think it depends on if the Dolphins say, we're playing the long game. We're going to build, you know, because they've got, I think, 3 first-round picks this year.
Yeah.
So if they say, we're going to play the long game, we're going to build up our offensive line, we're going to build a team, and then next year we're going to draft a quarterback, which obviously there's a couple good ones coming out next year too. Then maybe, but I think
the thing is, there's no guarantee you're going to be bad enough to get Trevor Lawrence.
You play another year with Josh Rosen, there's a pretty good guarantee.
You wouldn't. You'd throw Fitzpatrick out there.
Not unless you wanted the first pick.
Yeah, but, I mean, you can't go tell those guys not to try to win. Look at what they did over the...
I mean, you can say, look, Ryan Fitzpatrick's an older gentleman. We got to see what we've got. We need to see what we've got in Josh Rosen before we make a decision.
They know what they have in Josh Rosen. But, yeah, I'll be real interested to see what happens there. And somebody on text line said you guys would never take quarterback number one. I would next
That's
year.
Not true.
Yeah. Completely untrue.
I said I would take Andrew Luck number one. And next year I would take Trevor Lawrence number one. Even though he's coming off a bad game.
Yeah.
I
definitely take him. I just.
I saw a lot of chinks in that armor. 25-1, just not as sexy as 26-0 would have been.
Every guy is different, and I've been long on record of being suspicious of guys who really do it for 1 year. The last one being Blake Bortles. Was that right? I don't know. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Buzz Williams up next. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Joining us now on the program is the head coach for the men's Texas A&M basketball program, Coach Buzz Williams, coming off a big win. Coach, how's it going?
Good morning. How you doing? Doing great. Thank you.
Now, this seems like a culture-building win for you guys to get this win on the road, something you guys haven't done a lot yet. And that Vanderbilt team was playing pretty well. Is this a win that you can build off of more than just being a regular old win?
Yeah, I think relative to where we're at and what we're trying to do and where we would love to go in the future, I think everything is a first rep for us. It's a first rep and can we win a game on the road? It's a first rep, and how do we handle a win on the road? And maybe I understand it's public, but it's all the things that are happening before we play. I think that builds culture. I know that culture is maybe an often used word in sports and business, but to me, I think culture is habits. And in order to instill habits, that's an everyday deal. That's not just on game day or that's not just on off days. Habits are what your culture is. And I think that over the last 5 weeks, maybe the results haven't been what we wanted, but those that are paying attention and studying the things that matter the most long-term, I think our guys are doing a really good job of making sure that our habits continue to progress in the right direction.
At what point did you find out that Aaron Nesmith wasn't going to be playing?
Yeah, you know, it was on the I think AJ was, I can't remember what channel it was on TV, and those guys are allowed to come to shoot around. We had shoot around Saturday morning at 7, and I always do, I guess, an interview is what you would call it once we're done with shoot around, and they mentioned it to me. So they said that it came from the student newspaper, and so I asked them, I said, well, is that reliable? I didn't know. I hate that for Vanderbilt. I for sure feel bad for Aaron. I've known him for a long time. Really, really good player. One of the more efficient perimeter players, I think, in the country. And in defense of them, obviously, whenever that transpired, that was their first game rep without playing with him. And so, obviously, as good as he is, I think he's a first-round pick this year after his sophomore year. That completely changes their team.
This was the first time this season that you guys have won the three-point percentage battle, the rebounding battle, and the turnover battle in the same game. And those are three things that you and I have talked about a lot and have been sort of focuses for you. I mean, what do you think came together for you guys on Saturday that made you so successful at those things?
Well, anytime, you know this as much ball as you've watched, anytime you make shots, everything looks better, everything feels better. Happy for our guys. They're working. We would never have an evaluation of we're a team full of shooters, but trying to do a better job on the shots that we do take and making sure that the right people are at least giving us the best chance on those shots. I think we've continued to have improvement in that regard. I think the other thing, just like we've been talking whenever all of these started, we have such a narrow margin, and in truth, it's a negative margin. And the only chance we have to be in a game is to be borderline special defensively and to be close to really good from a rebounding standpoint. And those things are somewhat connected. Even when we were struggling on the glass, our first shot field goal percentage defense was really good, but we weren't finishing the possession with the rebound. And over the last maybe 3 to 4 weeks, we've had a distinct change in that we've been able to finish possessions with the rebound. And so now we're doing a lot better job of only giving the opponent one shot. And then to some degree, we've improved from an offensive standpoint, not necessarily because we're making more shots. We did on Saturday, but we've done a good job. E-Man, Savion, Nebo specifically, even Yeezy and Aku have done a really good job in the minutes they've played of when we shoot, the numbers say we're going to miss. So we need to run plays and design plays so that everybody knows who's going to shoot. And we need to be in a position schematically that we have our best chance to have our rebounders on the weak side. And so we changed some of what we're doing offensively. I know it sounds almost contrary to what you want as an offensive coach, but hey, we're going to miss the shot, so let's draw up a play so that our rebounders are where the shot will miss or where we think it will. And so getting second opportunities and extra possessions for the offensive glass has helped us offensively, but maybe just as important, it's helped us defensively because we're making a basket here or there, and so opponents are playing against a set defense.
You know, I think after the Gonzaga game and then after the multi-team event that you guys played early in the season, it would have been really easy for confidence to be lacking with your squad. And then did something change for you guys, you think, after the Oregon State game? Because it seems like the team just, it looks a lot different. I mean, they're playing with a little bit of swagger. They're playing like they've got some confidence now. Do you think that winning that game that no one was picking them to win, do you think that maybe changed some attitudes on the team?
Oregon State's good. I think Oregon State beat Arizona last night, double figures. I think they beat Colorado last week. That was a good win for Texas A&M. Gonzaga beat us, as you know, from start to finish. I think at the second media timeout, it was a one-possession game. And then over the last 30 minutes, they just absolutely beat us in every category, as bad as almost you can be beaten. Very disappointing, maybe in the three games that we played in Orlando. The only game that you could say it looks like they're trying was maybe the first half against Harvard. We finished in last place, as everybody knows. I think winning against Oregon State, the timing of it was good. They had a 4-day break for Christmas that was healthy. maybe as much emotionally as anything. And I think in defense of our guys, they've been very accepting, AJ, of how we've tried to implement our habits, so to say. And I'm not saying that our habits are superior to anyone else's, but I think that change is hard. I think change is hard for adults. I think change is hard for kids. And it takes time. And there's no way, as much as you want, that you can expedite time. And we're all thankful for where we're at after three conference games. But at the same time, I think we're also very accepting of what gives us a chance for it to be a game. We're humble enough because of all that's transpired not to think that we're better than anybody in any category. And we're also have enough wisdom to realize the only way we have a chance is if we play with remarkable effort in every possible way. And so our guys have been diligent in how they work. Their work has improved. The execution has improved. Their habits have become more consistent. And like anybody, you want to have some level of success from your work. And over the 2020 calendar year so far, I think that's helped us for sure.
LSU on deck. What do you see with the Tigers that it looked? I mean, what do you see out of them that makes you think you can play with them? And what do you see that may be a problem for you?
Yeah, I don't know if we can play with them or not, AJ. To be transparent, they're the number one offense in the league, and a large part, other than the talent of the eight kids that'll play, their offensive rebounding 35%. Of their missed shots, which is astronomical. It's top 20 in the nation. They had 23 offensive rebounds last Saturday against Arkansas, and they're scoring 9 points on average on the glass. So a little over 12% of their points have come from putbacks for the season. And so as we've talked about all year long, that's a huge concern. And I would say that they're the best offensive rebounding team thus far that we've played all season, including Gonzaga. And I thought they were good. But statistically speaking, the things that LSU are really good at are the things that we have struggled the most with. And so it'll be a test at a level that we haven't had thus far. And we'll have to be better than we've ever been. I think they've played 14 games. And eight of those 14 games, they scored over 40 points in the paint. Really elite-level athletes, straight-line drives is a portion of it. But also a portion of it is those guys getting offensive rebounds and immediately scoring. So we will have our hands full, not just the guys on our team that we consider big, but our guards are going to have, you know, in the Oregon State, you mentioned Oregon State. In the Oregon State game, our guards had 14 defensive rebounds. And we'll have to at least get to that in order for the LSU game to be a game.
Now, Javonte Smart, Skylar Mays, this is one of the better backcourts you guys have seen so far. Is there a game plan for forcing the ball out of their hands, trying to get the ball in and down low where Nebo is, or is it just business as usual?
Yeah, without giving away too much strategy, we'll have to keep the ball as high on the floor as we possibly can. Those two guys, 1 and 4, are elite at getting to the rim. But I also think that 0, 2, and 5 know that just as well as the opponent. And we've shown clips to our guys yesterday, and we'll show them some more today, where 0, 2, and 5 are literally on their way running to the offensive glass before 1 and 4 have even shot the ball. And it's because they know they're going downhill in a straight line, and the ball is about to be on the rim. And we've got to try to keep the ball from going downhill as best as possible. And we've got to make sure that as best we can, that we force them to shoot contested threes more than they want. But the real offense will begin when they shoot the ball. Their real offense.
You mentioned number two, that's Trendon Watford, kind of the five-star mega recruit that they pulled in this year. Does he look like he's living up to the hype that was around him coming into this season?
I mean this with all sincerity. The five guys that will start the game are the five guys that they have started. Every single one of them are five-star guys. Literally every single one of those kids were five stars. And so as we have become accustomed, we will be battling from behind before jump ball from a talent perspective. Those five guys they put on the floor, including two, who's a freshman, those guys were highly recruited at the highest level and could have went to any institution in the country.
Hard to look ahead, I know, but South Carolina this weekend, is that a team that you feel like you match up pretty well with?
I'm probably the worst at doing the media stuff in advance. I haven't watched them. I won't start watching them until Wednesday morning. Coach and I have scrimmaged every year of our head coaching careers, except for this one. Obviously, we're in the league together now for the first time. I have the utmost respect for who he is as a person and what he's done and what he's earned as a coach throughout. I know that they will play as hard as any team in the country, and that defensively they're so unique that it becomes almost impossible to run offense because of how they play defensively. Our prior teams have had reps of playing against that style every year in the scrimmage, so if we ever played anyone that tried to mimic that, we had at least a rep of it in preparation, but we haven't had that this year. But at the same time, I don't know how we match up because I haven't studied them. You know, every team we're playing is, I know bits and pieces, but until you kind of start studying, you can't have a great feel. And so I'm not at a point relative to our tenure here where any of us can get ahead. We've got to give all our time and effort to the next opponent. But I know from an effort and a defensive standpoint, those guys are among the country's best.
Well, had I asked you before the calendar flipped if you'd be happy starting off 2-1 in SEC play, my guess is you would have been pretty satisfied with it. So sure. Congratulations on the good start to conference play, and best of luck this week against LSU in South Carolina. We'll talk to you next week, Coach.
Yes, sir. Have a good day. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Guys, are you getting your bills from maybe all that stuff you bought for gifts and everything, and your credit cards are up there, and you're like, whoa, what's going on here? Well, guess what? Got an easy way to save some money. You can lower the interest rate on your credit card debt with a credit card consolidation loan from LightStream. LightStream rewards consumers who have good credit with a great interest rate and no fees. You can get a credit card consolidation loan from 5.89% APR with AutoPay. I don't know what your credit cards are, but they're probably around 18, 20%, maybe more than that. You can get loans anywhere from $5,000 to $100,000. Choose your funding date as soon as today. And how about this? Blitzers get an additional interest rate discount on top of LightStream's already low rates. The only way to get this discount is to go to LightStream.com/Fred. That's LightStream.com/Fred. Subject to credit approval, rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit LightStream.com for more information.